Have you ever experienced a time in your life when somebody said something or did something and you thought that you was past, you thought you was over, you thought that, hey man, I'm just going to go ahead and let that slide. But weeks later, a month later, a year later, you found yourself still feeling the exact same emotions about that situation a week later, a month later, a year later, as you had when that initial incident had happened, and you said to yourself, but God, I thought I'd already let this thing go. I thought I had already forgiven them. And you know, the very interesting thing about it is one of the biggest things that the adversary will use in these last of the last days, which we began talking about last week, is offense. And offense, simply put, is this: when you get snared or stumble at the words or actions of someone else. And we was reading last week in accordance to Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus was talking about in verse number 10, he says, and then you will be delivered up. He's talking about these are the indicators, the signs of the last days. These are the signs that my return is near. These are the signs that the end of this age is near. These are the signs that when all these things that was going on in Jerusalem at that time, these are the signs or the indicators of all these things is going to come to pass. And one of the main things that we found last week was that people will become offended, and the adversary needs to get you into offense, because when you understand what happens when offense comes into play, you will do everything you can to avoid it. Now, will opportunities for you to be offended happen? Absolutely. If you have any kind of interaction with any other person other than yourself, you will have opportunities to be offended. It's not that offense won't come, but Jesus says, what do you do when they come? When situations and circumstances happen, people even took it to the level they got offended with Jesus. Now, pause and think about that for a second. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the very one who went to the cross on your behalf and my behalf, when we did not even deserve it. You mean to tell me people will even get offended at Jesus? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go further and just tell you, I'm going to show you in the word where people actually got offended with Jesus. And one of the things we're going to talk about today, misguided anger. Our unresolved anger in the body of Christ. Unresolved anger in the body of Christ. And we find this happening in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 9. And this is Jesus talking about the indicators of the signs of the last days. And this is what he says. He says, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version. He says, then they will hand you over to suffer afflictions and tribulations. Afflictions is when things come against you. And he says, when persecution is when people come against you. Tribulations are tests and trials and situations that are meant to bring harm to you. He says, they did suffer afflictions and tribulations and put you to death. He says, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. In fact, Jesus says, the very reason these people are going to be coming against you, the very reason you're going to be having tribulations, the very reasons why you're going to be going through all these things is because of my name's sake. Because you are affiliated with me, people are going to hate you. People are going to come against you. People are going to try to persecute you. But then Jesus says this, and then many will be offended. When you go through persecutions and trials and tribulations, he says, many will be offended. He says, and will be repelled, and we begin to distrust, and they would desert him. Jesus said, not only will you become offended, not only will you begin to be repelled, but you will begin to distrust me, and you will desert me. You will desert the one whom you ought to trust and obey. And you will stumble. And he says, and you will fall away. And he says, and you will betray one another and persecute one another. He says, with hatred. And he says, and many false prophets will rise up and lead many astray. How were the false prophets able to raise up and lead many people astray. Because when people got offended, the very first thing they did is they got trapped. In fact, that word in the Greek for offense means scandalai, which means where we get the word scandal from. They were snared. They were trapped. They could not go any further. And how many people do you know in the body of Christ today who are snared, who are trapped, who are offended, and they believe that they are right? And even when you go to try to talk to them about the truth, according to the word of God, they don't want to hear it. And what offense does, you initially get angry. And then anger, if not dealt with, you become bitter. And if bitterness, if not dealt with, you become resentment. And when resentment sets in, your heart is hardened. Your heart is hardened against the very ones that you once said that you love the most. I can tell you from personal experience that I had known people who had done me wrong, and we call it a do dirty wrong. They did a brother straight up wrong, and I was upset. And then the more I thought about it, the angrier I got. And the more I thought about it, I began to become bitter against them. And the more I thought about it, I almost entered into resentment. But I had people telling me over and over and over again, hey, you got to get out of that rut. You got to get your mind right. And they were telling me the truth, but my heart was beginning to become hardened because I knew what that person had done was wrong. They knew what they did was wrong. But I'm going to tell you what happened to break all that. What caused it to break? What caused me? What I had to do exactly what it is that the word says. I had to make a decision, because the moment that I found out what this person had done, the first thing when I went to the Father, the first thing he said is, "You need to forgive them." And I was so mad. I was like, "What do you mean? I'm talking to God like I'm talking to you. What do you mean I need to forgive them? Don't you see what they did? Don't you see what they've caused? Don't you see what they, didn't you hear what they said? You already know." He says, "I'm telling you, you need to forgive them." And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it looked good on paper. I said, but in the natural, I wasn't ready to forgive them yet, because I thought I had a right. If I told you what happened, you would say, "Man, you had a right." And most people say, "Man, you got a right." But you know what? In God's eyes, I didn't have a right. Yes, what they did was wrong. Yes, in the long run, I would come out on top. In the long run, I would win. But man, let me tell you, the process from A to Z was not easy, because you got all these emotions that you're trying to deal with. And Jesus is telling the church, he's saying, look, if you don't, I'm telling you, before this even happens, people are going to be afflicting you. Tribulation is going to come up against you. And he's warning them. He says, and many people will become offended at me, and many people will distrust me, and many people will turn away from me. And you know, the only person who wins when you turn away from God is the adversary. You lose every single time. You say, how do you know that it's the adversary is the one who's trying to get me to get into offense, to turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ? It says, because there's nothing new under the sun. There was nothing that was new that was under the sun. He says, in fact, he's talking about the parable of the sower here in Matthew chapter 13, when he's talking about the parable of the sower. And he says this in verse number 20. He says, but he who received the seed, talking about the wound, stony ground. Listen to this person. This person hears the word and immediately receives the word with joy, yet has no root in itself, but endures only for a while. For what? When tribulations or persecution, remember, tribulations or afflictions is when things come against you. Persecution is when people come against you. It arises. And ladies and gentlemen, you're going to find out why tribulation and persecution comes and arises because of the word. The reason why the tribulations and persecutions is coming against you right now is because of the word. And what is the goal? The goal is to get you offended. And because when the persecution and tribulations come against you, immediately you become offended. And what happens when you become offended? The first thing you let go of is the thing that you believe caused you the offense. You think the devil is after your car. He's not. You think he's after your family. He's not. You think he's after your kids. He's not. You think he's after your money. He's not. If you're a follower of Jesus, the thing that he's after is the fact that you say you go to church. You say you believe on that Lord Jesus Christ. You said he's Lord. You say you believe his word. He says, let's prove it. And then he'll bring people against you. He'll bring circumstances against you to see if you really believe the things that you're saying. And what happens in most cases, people will become offended. And when people become offended, they will become offended at the individual who they believe is causing it. They'll become offended at the Lord because he didn't stop it. And then they'll become offended at anybody else who's coming around telling them, brother, you need to pray for them and forgive them. And guess what? The only person who's losing in that situation is you. The only person who wins in that situation is the adversary, because he knows when you're offended, the next step is you'll betray that person. You'll betray Jesus. You'll betray your husband. You'll betray your wife. You'll betray your boss. You'll betray your company. You'll betray anybody who you believe is the one who's causing you the offense. And then if you don't deal with it and you allow bitterness and resentment to set in, then you will get to the point where you hate that person. And if there wasn't a law against you murdering them, you probably try to kill them. All that started by you getting offended. Now, what the problem with that is most of the time when you get upset with somebody, you get angry at somebody, you have misguided anger. It occurs when someone directs their anger towards a target that is not the true source of their frustration. This can happen because of the individual is unable or unwilling to confront the actual source of their anger, or because they lack the coping skills to manage their emotions effectively. This misdirection can lead to a negative consequence, including strained relationships or a failure to address the underlying issue. People got offended at Jesus. Was Jesus the one who brought about the tribulation? No. Was Jesus the one who brought about the afflictions or persecutions? No. Who was the one who brought about the tribulations and persecution and afflictions? The adversary. Why? Because the moment you hear the word of God, he about the kingdom of God, the adversary, according to Matthew chapter 13, the adversary comes immediately to try to snatch that word away from you, lest you believe it, lest you trust it, lest you begin to say it, lest you begin to do it, lest you begin to see the manifestation of it in your life and you go tell somebody else. When you're talking about somebody who has unresolved anger or misplaced anger or displaced anger, that person. Now, this person is a person who is frustrated with their boss or yells at their spouse or their child at home. It's like an athlete who is angry about a bad call in a game, throws their equipment in frustration, possibly injuring someone nearby, or someone who is feeling inadequate or insecure, most likely will lash out at a stranger for a minor offense. You ever been riding, you've been talking to somebody in your family and, you know, they left the top of the toothpaste, the cap of the toothpaste, and they went off. They start screaming, they start yelling, and they start bringing up 5 years of stuff that you had done. Now, you don't even remember leaving a toothpaste cap off, but this person is running you down, talking about all these things you have done. And for so many people in the body of Christ, they walk around, and if you was able to peel back that facade, peel back what's their hearts, peel back and be able to just peek into what's going on in their heart, you will find out they have so much unresolved anger built up and resentment in their hearts towards things might have happened 5, 6, 10, 11 years ago, but they have never addressed it. And because of that, they have damaged the relationships. Misdirected anger can also strain relationships with loved ones, friends, colleagues. And in this situation, you're seeing how the misguided anger, unresolved anger, displaced anger will actually strain your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, you're gonna say, well, how do you know that these things happen with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I'm about to show you. And remember, I told you I'm not going to tell you about it. I'm going to show you examples of it that happen in the body of Christ. We find this even with Jesus' own cousin, John. Turn with me, if you will, over to Matthew chapter number 11. And we're going to read in verse 1. And this is what is written in the book of Matthew. It says, "And it came to pass when Jesus finished commanded his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John," talking about John the Baptist, now John is not a Baptist. John the Baptist is John the Baptizer, just for clarity. John had heard, now you got to remember, I'm going to set this up. John, who had been preaching before Jesus even came on the scene, had all kinds of disciples following after him. John was teaching them. He had he taught the gospel of repentance, where, you know, people repent, be baptized, and for the remission of sins. But what happened is John's down in jail. John's down in prison. Now, John, the cousin of Jesus, who had seen all kinds of miracles, who had baptized Jesus, who had seen Jesus come up out of the water, saw the Holy Spirit rest upon Jesus, knew that Jesus, he says, "This is Christ, the Son of, this is the Son. This is the one you've been waiting for. This is the one whose latches I am not worthy to untie." John, this is this same John, his cousin, who already, he was the forerunner for Jesus Christ, and which was prophesied in the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Verse 1 says there's going to be a forerunner who's going to go. And what is he going to do? He's going to prepare the way of the Lord. He's going to be the voice of the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, making his path straight. But John is now in prison. So this is what happened. John had heard in prison about the works of Christ. He sent his two disciples and said to him, talking to Jesus, John sent two of his disciples to Jesus. And this is the question that John, who baptized Jesus, who saw the Holy Spirit land on Jesus, who heard come from heaven, the Father say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." This same John says this. He says, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" In other words, John is asking, sending his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one who's supposed to be coming? Or should we look for another one?" And this is how Jesus answered. Jesus said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you have seen, which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Now listen to the next statement Jesus makes. "Blessed is he who is not offended, snared, trapped because of me." Blessed is the person who's not offended because of Jesus. Blessed is the person who is not offended because they believe on him. Blessed is the person who's not offended because the people are turning to Jesus. Jesus knew John was offended. Why was John offended? Because if Jesus can heal the sick, if Jesus can cleanse the leper, if Jesus can raise the dead, if Jesus can cause the lame to walk, surely Jesus can get John out of prison. So why was John offended? Because he believed that Jesus should have been able to do something about his trial, his tribulation, and his afflictions. And the fact that Jesus hadn't come and got him out of jail yet, John became offended. Now, what Jesus went on to say, he says, as the disciples departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John. He says, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garment? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he, talking about John, whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Even though John was offended with Jesus, Jesus was never offended with John, even for the fact that John had caused those people to come and try to question, are you really the one, or should we be looking for another? Jesus goes on to say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God, least in the kingdom of heaven, is greater than him. In fact, Jesus says, even though John among men are people born of women, there's none greater than John. He says, but the least one who are in the kingdom of heaven and God's ways of doing things and God's kingdom is even greater than John. He says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence takes by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to their companions. What is Jesus trying to say? Up until John the Baptist, you had all the laws and you had all the prophets. But the moment that John the Baptist came on the scene, up until now, what has he been preaching? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And many people will hear about the kingdom of heaven, and many people will become offended at that word, because the kingdom of heaven does not go along with what it is that they want to hear. So when Jesus began to speak the word, some people heard the word. If you go back and read the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, and you can start about verse 18, he begins to talk about the parable talks about the sower. What is the sower going to sow? The sower is sowing the word. And when he sows the word, there are four type of ways that people are going to respond. When people are on rocky ground, a wayside, what do? They heard the word, but they didn't believe the word. They totally discounted the word. I ain't listening to that mess. Then you have people who we talked about just a moment ago, who was on stony ground. They heard the word. They believed the word. They even received it with joy. But because they had no roots in them, they only endured for a season. But when trials and tribulations and persecutions came for the word, they became offended and they followed it no more. Then you have those who are in thorny ground. Those are the ones who they'll hear the word. They'll believe the word. They'll receive the word. They'll even endure for a time. But they get caught up in the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things. And those things hold more priorities. We will call them today distractions that will pull you away from the word of God and draw you into something else. But then there's a fourth type. Those are the good ground. They hear the word. They believe the word. They receive the word. They act out on the word, and they receive a harvest, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But there's others, even in Jesus' own camp. And that's why it's called unresolved anger in the church, because there are some who are sitting under the sound of my voice, who are sitting in churches today. And I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you, you want to deal with that offense, because if you don't deal with that offense will deal with you. We find this out in John chapter 6, the Gospel of John chapter 6. Verse 60 says it this way. It says, therefore, many of Jesus, now Jesus is talking about, this is where he's talking about, people think he's having like a cannibal message where he's talking about, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they're not understanding. He's talking about symbols. He's symbolizing. But when they hear it, they're thinking natural. He's talking spiritual. This is what happened. Jesus says, therefore, many of his disciples, when they had heard this, heard what? Heard the word that Jesus was preaching. No matter who you are, no matter where you are in your walk with God, you are either on four levels. You're at stage, you're at one of those four stages. Every time you hear the word of God, every time you hear something, every time you hear the word, every time you read the word, you're at one of those four levels. You're either rocky, you're either wayside, you're either stony ground, you're either thorny ground, or you the good ground. And you could be good ground on a whole lot of things and still be wayside on a lot of things as well. So let's not pour out the baby with the bathwater. So what does Jesus say? As is written in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 60. He says, many of the disciples, when they heard what he said, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples, who's his own disciples, were complaining about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Does this snare you? Does this cause you to stumble? Then he goes on to say, he says, what then if you should see the Son of Man sin when he, where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe and would betray him. You have people who say they are disciples of Jesus, who a disciple is a student, a follower, a pupil, a learner, someone who's made a decision to live their life based off of the teachings and instructions of Jesus. And what happens? They hear a word that they don't quite understand, as opposed to doing what the word says, to meditate on the word until you meditate means to mutter it over and over to yourself, to the point that you're saying it out of your mouth and you're meditating. By Jesus' stripes I'm healed. He supplied my every need. And you're meditating on it and you're meditating on it and you're meditating on it, to the point that you see yourself doing what the word, but that's not what they did. They heard the word, they did not receive the word. And because they did not understand it right away, they just discounted it. They said, that's just foolishness. And they threw it aside. And as a result of it, the adversary didn't have to do anything, because when they made a decision to throw it aside and they became offended at what that word says, he already knew, I ain't got to do nothing. He knew he didn't have to do anything, because they already done all the work themselves. Jesus knew from the beginning those, and the whole thing came down is simply because they didn't believe it. They heard the word, they didn't receive the word, and because they didn't receive the word, they couldn't believe the word, and because they couldn't believe the word or receive the word, they got no benefit out of it. And it's the same thing for you and me. If we hear a word, but we don't receive the word, we won't believe the word. I ain't talking about just believing any Tom, Dick, and Harry. I'm talking about a word that you read straight from the Bible itself. If you make a decision, I don't believe that. I ain't doing that. I ain't fooling with that. Then you could easily become offended when somebody else comes to you and talking about that same word, how that word is produced in their life. And even though they went through the trial, and ladies and gentlemen, everybody goes through trials and tribulations, and everybody goes through persecutions, but it's what you do when you go through. Jesus himself said, in this lifetime, you will go through tribulations. He says, but be of good cheer, because he's already overcome the world. And because he's overcome the world, you and I have also overcome the world. Excuse me. And Jesus says, therefore, I said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and they followed him no more. And what did it say in Matthew chapter 24? that when people got offended because of the persecutions and tribulations and because people were hating Jesus for the word's sake, what did they do? They got offended and they repelled against Jesus. They turned away from him. And what happened? They followed him no more, which then opened up the door for what? The adversary to send in a false prophet, a false teacher who would teach them a different Jesus, a different gospel, a different Holy Spirit. Jesus also goes on to say this to them. He says, then Jesus turned to the 12. What 12? Those 12, his original 12. And he didn't say, oh, people, come on, guys. See, what I meant was, no, Jesus turned to them and said, hey, do you also want to go away? But I'm like Peter. Peter asked him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know. Not just to believe, they come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Now, are there opportunities for you to have misplaced, misguided, displaced anger? Yes. Do you have a choice whether or not you're going to let it stay there or not? Absolutely. Like I told you from the very beginning, when I was upset, I was mad. You know when you're so mad, tears coming out your eyes? I was that mad. And I'm a grown man. And I'm hot, 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 hot. And the first thing that God says, you need to forgive them. Because if you don't forgive them, the adversary will take out you and them. If you're upset, if you're angry, if you're bitter, if you have resentment and unresolved bitterness and resentment and unresolved anger, you are trapped. You are snared. You can't go any further. You won't go any further because your heart is hardened. You only have one heart, ladies and gentlemen. And if you don't deal with it, you can't go any further. But the Lord told me to remind you of this. He says, no greater love. He says, this is the commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love. No one has shown stronger affection than to lay his life down or give his life up, his own life for his friend. Jesus says, you are my friends if you keep and do the things I have commanded. And the Father said to remind you of this. He says, when you're thinking about you have a right to be bitter, that you have a right to have anger, that you have a right to resentment, you have a right to have unresolved and undisplaced anger. He says, remember this in accordance to Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his love, his own love towards you and for me, that while we were yet still sinners, while we were still yet violating his word, while we were still yet being bitter and resentful and angry towards him, or towards our fellow man, Christ died for us. Remember, when you're thinking about you have a right to be angry with God, you have a right to be resentful towards the church, you have a right to have anger towards them, you have a right to be angry towards God's men and women of God, you have a right to not go to church and fellowship with your brothers, as the word of God says. Remember this, God has already demonstrated his love towards you and I, that when we was doing stuff that we knew we shouldn't have been doing, or violating his word, he still sent Jesus for us. He already demonstrated his love towards us and for us. And ladies and gentlemen, the very same love, if you're a follower of Jesus, the very same love that is in Christ, the same love that God loved Jesus with, is the same love he loves you and I with. And if you've never made a decision to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, that's your starting point. Or if you've even made a decision to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, and you realize today, man, I need to get some stuff right. I need to deal with that unresolved anger. I need to deal with that misplaced anger and that displaced anger, or it's going to destroy me from the inside out. It not only affects you, it affects your every relationship, home, work, church, everywhere. And God is calling the church to come up higher. We are the ones who are supposed to demonstrate to the world what it means to walk in love, what it means to walk in forgiveness, what it means to forgive and let go and trust God for the results. I'm here to tell you, in that situation I talked to you about, God said, hey, if you release it to me, I'll take care of it. And it started with forgiveness. I forgave that individual. And God did a work in me and through me to the point where you would not even recognize that I came out of that situation not even smelling like smoke, and out of that fire not even smelling like smoke. And everything that that individual said or done, it boomeranged back. And when they saw how God had brought me out and how God had turned that, they came back to apologize. But now I'm not that old guy who I was on the day when I found out what they did. Now I'm a brand new creation in Christ because I made a decision to keep my faith and trust and confidence and obedience to God's word, even though everything in my flesh said to do something that was totally different. What did I do? The same thing I'm asking you to do today. I had to make a decision to forgive. I had to make a decision that Jesus was truly going to be the Lord of my life, and I was going to follow him even when it got hard. And that's what I'm going to give you an opportunity to do. We're going to pray, first of all, about forgiveness this morning. It's time we got to let go of that unresolved anger, that misguided anger. First with the Lord Jesus Christ, then with others. And then what we're going to do, we're going to give you an opportunity to get in right relationship with him, get in right fellowship with him. Because when you're operating in unforgiveness, that's sin. Yes, it's sin, ladies and gentlemen. That's sin. Why? Because you're not doing the first commandment, loving your brothers or your sisters just as Christ has loved you and I. So we're going to go ahead and pray this morning in the name of Jesus. Then we're going to pray for those who want to make a decision to make Jesus the Lord of their life in accordance to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, which says, the word of God is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith, which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God truly raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Today, confession is going to be made for Jesus as Lord, but we're also going to make a confession of the forgiveness of those who despitefully used us, persecuted us, spoken all manner of evil against us, so we can eradicate that out of the body today in the name of Jesus. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in the grave, but now he's risen. You're alive right now. Lord Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm now born from above. I'm now made anew. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, and I receive it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, right now, I choose to forgive all those who despitefully use me, persecute me, speak all manner of it against me because of my relationship with you. I asked you, forgive them. I release them. I ask you to heal them. If there's any sickness and disease in their body, I ask you to supply their every need. If they lack any good thing, I ask you to protect them, to keep them from all hurt, harm, and danger, from all evil, destruction, and plague. I ask you to blot this out from your records. Hold it not to their charge. I release them, and in releasing them,
I release myself. I have operated according to your word. I've acted on your word to forgive. Emotions, mind, heart, I command you, release them right now in Jesus' name. Touch them not with your mind. Touch them not with your mouth. And do no harm against them. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Now, if you pray those prayers with me, I want to welcome you back into the right relationship with God, welcome you back into the kingdom of God, welcome you back into a proper position with God. What do you got to do now, man? You got to get in a word-based church that teaches about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know that our church is such a place. We invite you to join us each week at 6 p.m. Saturday at 6 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time or 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll share another powerful word from God's word that will bless your life forever. On behalf of Pastor Juwin and the entire Knight Nation, I want to thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next time. Have a great day and God bless you. Bye-bye.